FireTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer... Sir Rocket,
my little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to have a free Twitch Prime sub, which you know what? I happen to have one, guys. Mine is available, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and I'm going to hit the subscribe for free button. And it's just that simple. I just subscribed for the next 30 days for free to this channel. You can do it too if you have your Twitch Prime available. If not, you're welcome to subscribe regularly, or you can just follow the channel or just, you know, lurk and tune in whenever we're live. That's totally cool too. It's up to you. We don't care. Just as long as you're here. Anyway, I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
I would you know, say, hey, thank you for the subscription, but I didn't see it pop up yet. There we go.
It's boots to asses time.
Matt, thanks for subscribing for 10 months in a row.
Notice me, streamer!
For 11 months, 10 months in a row. Well done. You didn't share your thing.
It's boots to asses time.
Hey, it's Word. Thanks for subscribing 4 months in a row. I noticed you.
See how simple and easy it is, and you can send nice, friendly little messages like "Notice me, ho" to your favorite streamer, which is should be us. But you know, we understand there are people that are more famous than us.
Anyway,
we did not have a lot to get into on the show. I'm gonna be real with y'all. We were actually kind of struggling a little bit this week for content, and then this afternoon happened.
7 o'clock.
And now we have stuff we have got to talk about in the news. We are also talking all about Backlash, which is going to air this Sunday on the WWE Network.
Backlash.
But before we get into the news brought to you by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, I have to just say this, that there is a show on HGTV which is watching House Hunters and making fun of it. Somebody get me a contact name at HGTV. I will do that shit for free.
She would.
And I would do it on my channel on Twitch, too, if they would let me. I would just sit here and make fun of House Hunters all day.
She would.
Because I could. I can. And I regularly do.
She does.
So, somebody, anybody, get me hold of Scribs Networks, HGTV, Discovery Family of Networks, whatever the hell you want to call it. Get them and find out if I can make fun of House Hunters on my stream, because that would be awesome. I would do that all day, every day. I also have a mosquito bite on my foot, which sucks. Anyway, so shall we get into the news?
Let's get into news, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
Okay, so we have to talk about really the biggest news that happened this afternoon, depending on where you are. And that is that WWE announced that they are effective immediately consolidating their creative teams. That both the Raw and SmackDown creative team are going to come into one group. They're going to be under Bruce Pritchard, and Paul Heyman is essentially out as the executive creative lead for Raw. And they are relegating him back to concentrating on his role as a quote-unquote in-ring performer. This isn't a huge surprise. No offense to Paul E., but the Raw ratings have not been strong. They've struggled over the last year, and that's how long he's been in charge, is about a year. And Raw has not drastically improved like I think everybody would hope and pray it would. Now, part of that is because in the last, really since, 3 months? We've been all stuck in this hell for 3 months now. That he's had his hands tied in terms of what he's been able to put on TV, what talent he has available to him, and that kind of thing. So they've been working with what they've got. And Raw has been better in recent weeks, but it just was not enough to sway Vince, who apparently made the decision today.
Yeah.
Like this afternoon, this evening, where he just finally pulled the plug on the experiment and handed the reins back over to Bruce Pritchard fully, which isn't a huge surprise. This is not the first time that Bruce Pritchard has managed to muscle his way, not that implying that he did, but essentially muscle his way back up to being the head of creative for both shows. This has happened at least 2 or 3 times from what I can remember, so I'm not entirely shocked. I just hope that there is an improvement with Raw, and that it is a little bit more interesting, because, I mean, SmackDown has had the advantage in that regard, where SmackDown has been much more interesting. They've had a lot better storylines. And yeah.
So a year ago on our 7-year show, we talked about how Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman were brought in as executive directors of the brands. We're headed to our 8-year show in 2 weeks. That's how long Paul Heyman lasted. He lasted almost a year.
We'll say he did last longer than Eric Bischoff.
Eric Bischoff made it to the beginning of Fox, and then, that was about it.
And then he got ousted.
And then he got ousted by Bruce Pritchard. Okay. So, there's a lot of moving parts on this one, to say the least. One, what does it mean for the future of Brock Lesnar? There are no fans. You don't bring Brock in. But is this something Paul Heyman... Also, is this something Paul Heyman wanted? Did he want to step down and no longer deal with the headache of being in charge of the flagship Monday Night Raw? Because it's a tough job. Let's think about it. The lead writer for SmackDown was let go last week because he got into an argument with Vince McMahon. So now the lead writer, the executive director for Monday Night Raw is gone. The lead writer for SmackDown has been let go.
Yeah, it should be pointed out that their writing staff has an extremely high burnout rate and an extremely high turnover rate. There is pretty much a constant job posting for at least one writing position with WWE. And, by the way, if anybody would like to apply for the writer position, I think it's still open on WWE's corporate site. So for any of you that feel you can book the show better, please feel free to apply. I don't mean that with any sincerity whatsoever, but if you feel like you can actually do it, go for it. So this isn't a huge shock because, like you said, there's a lot of high pressure. You're answering essentially to Vince McMahon, who has while these positions were created to allow Vince to sort of step back. We all know Vince, right? And when the ratings are suffering, when they've got the networks on their backs, and they're basically, the networks are going, hey, WTF, why are the ratings low? Why aren't you pulling in what we need you to pull in? Why aren't you doing what you promised us? We paid you over $1 billion for X number of years to give us the product that you were pulling in when we signed you, and now we've seen a drop in quality, we've seen a drop in ratings, and we feel like we're not getting our bang for our buck. Fix it. That's probably what they're being told.
And the jobs of being the writers directors of SmackDown and Raw got a lot more challenging since March. For a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One is they're no longer in front of a live audience, so you don't know what's working, what's not. You're only judging it based on one person's reaction, and it's not social media. Vince McMahon, he is the audience right now. So if he doesn't like something, he will let you know. Because there's no other judge that can tell you any differently. Because anything you see on social media and everyone praising an angle, a story, a match, doesn't mean anything. Because there's no live reaction to judge. You have an audience now, but it's a studio audience. They're paid to do what you want. They're not actually reacting naturally. They're reacting to what you're telling them to react to.
It's their dream audience, y'all.
Number two, this year on this show, we had a great segment we love to do.
XFL.
And Vince McMahon no longer has his XFL to occupy his time.
Which makes me so sad.
So now, compile that job of being the head writers and stuff to an angry, pissed off Vince McMahon because he lost his football dream again. Can you really make that man happy at this stage? No.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, that's the other side of it is Vince, they created the position so Vince would get out of everybody's hair, step away, and go be able to go take care of the XFL. And he put his faith and trust in Bruce Prichard and Paul Heyman, respectively, right? Vince goes off, deals with the XFL. COVID happens. The XFL goes bankrupt. And now Vince is dealing with all this shit because he's being sued. He's dealing with bankruptcy because he was one of the owners. You know, he's got all this stuff going on, so he's not in the best place. And then on top of that, WWE is more than likely hemorrhaging money left, right, and center because they have lost one of their main revenue streams, which is ticket sales. They've either had to put on hold or refund all the ticket sales that they made up at least till they started canceling shows, which I think was right before WrestleMania. So everything prior to WrestleMania and WrestleMania itself and everything involved in WrestleMania, they've lost all that money.
And they're not poor. They're making tons of money because of the TV deals, but still,
that's a huge portion of your revenue that you've lost. And they don't want to lose money. They don't want to have that on the books. They're a publicly traded company. They don't want that because their stock's now going to take a hit. Their investors are going to be pissed. And oh, by the way, he's getting sued by the investors because they feel like he lied to them. There's that one too. So right now is not a good time to be Vince McMahon. And
so there's one thing that Vince McMahon does not like: weakness. And to him, illness is a sign of weakness. So you can bet your bottom dollar this whole thing, he hates it. He hates it with passion because he believes his show goes on above any illness out there. So the fact that his baby, his pride and joy, Monday Night Raw, is suffering leads to Paul Heyman, you're fired.
Yeah, it's not a good time. And like you said, they've been flying blind. And the one thing that WWE struggled with since this whole thing happened is adjusting their product to no audience. They could never quite figure out how to make it happen without an audience. And so they've now added the paid to clap audience into the show, and it has helped. It has made it better. But it still is what it is, which you don't have the grandness. You don't have what Raw and SmackDown, what we're all used to. Like, they show all these clips from, you know, past shows like a year ago or even a few months ago, and you sit there and you're like, damn, that's what wrestling used to be. And I miss it. I think everybody misses it for all the products involved. It's not just WWE. I think people, you know, the AEW fans, I'm not among them. I don't watch the show. But if you do, that's great. It's not for me. I watched it. I wasn't particularly a fan of it. But if you enjoy it, go for it. But I feel like AEW is missing that too. And they've struggled as well trying to adjust to essentially what is the new reality. Now, they've had their wrestlers as fans pretty much the whole time, and it has helped them. But they've had their struggles as well. And you feel bad for Paul Heyman. And I think I would hope that this was mutual. I would hope that he wasn't forced out. I don't think he was. I think they all just came to a mutual understanding where it was, I don't want to do this anymore, give it to Bruce. And I'll go back to doing what I do. Because there's a huge, like you said, there's a huge amount of pressure. And when you don't have that gauge, except for Vince or except for social, which, you know, social's so divided anyway most of the time on wrestling, it's hard to get an accurate feel for how everything works and how everything is.
Yeah.
So, the MLB owners are going to play. They did the draft the other night. They're going.
We'll see. They got to, baseball will be played. Whether they're will force their players back or not, that will be to be determined. There'll be at least a 40-something game season.
They can't force the player to come back.
Yes, they can. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, they can. And if they can't come to a deal, they will force them to come back at it. Whatever the MLB wants. That's a thing.
Oh, that sucks.
So negotiate. Yeah.
Negotiation sting. But I would say since they've got Paul Heyman concentrating on his wrestling career or his in-ring performer career is an indication that they are expecting fans to be back sooner rather than later. I've been hearing as early as next month, they're expecting to have...
With Florida having concert halls available for an audience, that could be your first step.
Florida and Georgia are going to allow it. Georgia opens up for that, I think, end of this week or next week. So that at least opens Florida and Georgia up. Missouri will be available to them as well. I don't think they're going to be touring as much, but if they can open Full Sail up and they can start working out of Full Sail versus the Performance Center and they can start running Raw and SmackDown out of Full Sail, then that gives them a different environment. They can bring fans in and they can have a limited number of fans at the show. It won't be the same, but they could do that. They just need to be careful because I think what they're trying to do is obviously prevent renting a building right now because they have no revenue coming in. Once they get ticket revenue to balance that, then they can start looking at renting buildings. But I think it's going to be a ways before they start going back to the bigger venues just because that's a little bit harder to control. Whereas Full Sail is a smaller environment. It's kind of sort of like the Petri dish to see if it's working kind of thing. See what they need to do to tweak in terms of social distancing, in terms of protecting people, all that stuff. Because that's the main concern is once you bring fans back in, you're opening kind of Pandora's box of, well, what if somebody has COVID and they're not telling anybody and they spread it to everybody in the audience? They spread it to the talent. They spread it to the, you know, people in the back, to everyone. What if like everybody gets infected? Which is that's highly unlikely. But still, that could be a thing. WWE is then liable for it. Like if one person goes to their shows and another person gets infected with COVID because that one person that had it went, WWE is liable. And they have to avoid that. And that's what they're trying to actively avoid. So I think they're probably trying to figure out how to safely have fans in the audience where nobody is going to get sick.
And everyone's like, trying to figure that out.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. I'm curious to see what Bruce Pritchard does. This could also be being done, just to note, because everything is in one place right now, and they don't necessarily need two creative heads. I think Bruce is also... Is Bruce based out of Florida? Is he based...
I would believe he's based out of Connecticut.
Probably, but you don't need two creative heads flying in and doing the shows right now, because they're all being filmed pretty much simultaneously or over the course of a few days.
Same days. Monday, Tuesday.
So you're not having everybody there anyway. It makes no sense to have Paul Heyman and Bruce there. So just bring it all under one for the time being, because they're mixing rosters, they're mixing storylines. It's just easier that way for everybody.
Could be the sign of brand splits ending. You never know. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
I think at least for temporarily, this is a tangent, but we have no content, so we're going to talk about it anyway. Is because everybody's there or around in the area. They're filming on Mondays and Tuesdays. It would make sense at least temporarily to end the brand splits just to have people going back and forth between shows because they're there. They're not having to have any extra travel. They just have to essentially be there one extra day if they aren't required to be there both days. So
they are both days because Raw and SmackDown are taped. Raw, SmackDown.
Okay, so then they're already there. It makes sense to get the most money that you can for it and just have them work as many shows as possible. That's how you do this. So, I mean, at least, like I said, temporarily. Now, when the travel schedule starts back up, you can say, hey, all right, bracelet split is back in effect because we have a Raw crew, we have a SmackDown crew, and we can't have them mingle because they're in two separate cities. So that doesn't make sense. But for right now, because it's all in one place, just combining everything makes sense.
We'll see what happens.
We will see what happens. So moving on into other news, because that was a very long tangent.
Hold on. I'm going to divert a second from our script.
We have a script?
Or sheet, whatever you want to say. We have breaking news.
Oh God, what now?
E's hit series Total Bella is following the lives of WWE superstars. New York Times bestselling authors and entrepreneurs Nikki and Brie Bella has been renewed for a 60th season, premiering later this fall. This upcoming season will highlight the expansion of their families with the birth of their babies as Nikki navigates the joys of parenthood for the first time and Brie continues her journey of motherhood, now as a mother of two.
Yay.
They announced ahead of the season finale tonight. That's all.
They are going to get that Nikki Bella wedding, guys. They're going to make that happen.
By God, they will.
They got screwed out of one. They're not going to get screwed again. but yeah, no, anyway, congratulations to them. I'm very happy for them that they got picked up again. Really quickly, just to make everybody aware, in case you didn't know, in case you haven't seen the commercials, the Taker documentary returns this Sunday for the second to last episode in the series. It should be available at the very least after Backlash, but it might be available at 10 like they have been dropping it previously. So if you're interested in continuing watching that, like I know I am, like I know Rock is, because we're going to talk about it next week, then definitely check it out. If you haven't watched it, it is extremely good. I'm so jealous everybody's getting to interview him right now. But congratulations to all of you lucky bastards that get to talk to him. I'm so jealous of you. But anyway, that's another story for another day. But yeah, if you want to check out a really good series, watch the Taker documentary. It's very enlightening about him as a person, which there are qualities that I love, and then there are qualities that make me sit here and shake my head, and I worry about him more. But anyway, moving on, Edge's new movie, Money Plane, will be debuting July 10th on digital and video on demand. So everybody check that out.
It stars Edge, Adam Copeland, alongside Kelsey Grammer and Denise Richards, among others.
Hey, go him. And moving on to the indie scene, New Japan Pro Wrestling is going to be returning on June 16th for the New Japan Cup. That will run to July. There will be no fans in attendance, but New Japan is back and will be up and running here very, very soon in the next 5 days. So that's something else to look forward to. Yay. MLW has signed with The Zone DAZN. So good for them.
Mm-hmm. It'll be their online streaming deal. It's a premium service, but they've got a nice little deal for themselves.
And then last but certainly not least, Clean Breath.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
You played it twice, didn't you?
No.
Oh, I thought I heard it twice. So, I'm not going to get into the whys and hows of this, but basically, Elias is out with a torn pec.
Hashtag blame Brent.
So that's unfortunate. And they use the SmackDown storyline that I'm not going to talk about as a way to write him off TV. Jinder Mahal announced on Instagram that he has had knee surgery and he will be out after just coming back, which sucks. Like, he just came back off injury, but he had to have additional surgery, I think, on his knee. So he will be out, I think, another 6 to 8 weeks at the earliest.
I don't know the time frame, but yeah, the injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
So I was looking through some stuff, right?
He had a very impressive cast. Yes.
He did. So there's two versions of the Blame Brent sounder. I forgot about it. Want to
there
hear?
Are.
You want to hear the other one?
Sure.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Side effects include broken bones, sprained ankles, stubbed toes, and no days off.
Hashtag blame Brent.
I think they shortened it to just the bone snap.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But there was a longer version.
Cool.
I found it the other day.
That's awesome. All right, so that does it for wrestling. We are now going to jump really quickly over to Fortnite because...
Supposedly.
In theory, there's going to be an event that happens Monday at 2. It has not been rescheduled like it has been for the past 2 weeks. It was rescheduled initially because they were having server problems and issues with the event, so they pushed it out a week. And of course, the events of last week, they felt it was completely inappropriate and quite right to do the event while all the protests and everything were going on, so they rescheduled it again for this coming Monday, which sucks because it's on a work day and it's right smack dab in the afternoon for everybody. But supposedly It's going to happen. And then season two or season three launches not that initial Wednesday, but the Wednesday after, correct? Or does it launch on that Wednesday?
It would be that Wednesday. So 2 days later would be the new season, according to Epic Games.
So, yay!
Content.
Fortnite season three is here!
Content!
Woo! So you can look forward to us talking about that next Thursday. We will walk you through the game. I think I got my internet straightened out, so hopefully, cross your fingers, everybody, knock wood, that I can stream it and I don't put up the on-air screen the entire time.
So for people wondering, the event will be called The Device, Monday, June 15th at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Stream live at twitch.tv/LindsayWard and twitch.tv/WTLive. And the new season is Wednesday, June 17th. So a week from yesterday.
Ding! So, alrighty. I say that does it for our news. We're going to take our first and only break of the evening.
No. Let's do this segment now and then we'll do the...
What are we doing now?
This.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Like we talked about.
Did we talk about that?
Yeah.
When?
Yesterday, when I told you to write it the way you did. Write it that way.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't remember that at all. I swear to God you didn't tell me.
I did.
I have no recollection of this.
I did.
Whatsoever.
I said news and NXT. And then tweets and pay-per-view.
I did not hear that at all.
She doesn't listen to me, chat.
You know, I would like to point out that you added news to the sheet and you didn't change it.
I didn't see you, how you wrote it.
A likely story. He had the sheet. He added news to it, chat, and he didn't change it.
You see the deflection she's doing here, chat? You see this? She's deflecting that it's my fault.
I said I didn't hear it. I take responsibility for the fact that I didn't hear it, but I'd like to point out that you didn't see it when you changed the sheet, so...
Because I trusted you to write it the correct way?
You should know better than that.
Let's talk about NXT.
Alright, let's talk about NXT. I'm just going to say this up front. They made Roderick Strong come to the show. Like, they dragged him kicking and screaming. So the story is Dexter Lumis took off with Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly was frantically tweeting trying to find them. Adam Cole was concerned, but wasn't really trying to find them. And so Adam Cole tweeted out yesterday morning, Roddy and Bobby are home. They showed up really early this morning, which I like that it establishes this whole continuity that Undisputed Era lived together in one house with their wives and children. Like, that just, I love that thought process. And so that Roddy and Bobby came stumbling home after escaping from Dexter Lumis, and they were going to be at the show on Wednesday night. And Bobby was fine. Adam Cole was pissed. And poor Roderick Strong, man. Roderick Strong was freaked out. He was, you know, telling him Dexter's a bad dude. He messed us up. And then just the icing on the cake as Adam Cole is like cutting this promo on Dexter Lumis, basically promising vengeance and destruction, is that Dexter keeps popping up in the crowd.
But no one else sees him.
But no one else sees him. It was so good because Adam's kind of problem with them. Roddy would be like, there he is, there he is, there's Dexter, there he is. They would turn and they would look and nobody would be there. And then Adam would keep going and then Roddy would do it again and like they would all turn and Dexter was gone. Like, this was so good. This was so well done. I loved everything about this. And it happened throughout the night of Dexter Lumis haunting Undisputed Era. And there was a drawing involved. There was a drawing involved that they did not do a close-up on. But essentially it was Undisputed Era, the three of them that were laying in pools of their own blood.
I mean...
All we need is big, fat, creepy serial killer's letters and we're gold!
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I don't know who's writing this, but I love everything about this. This is so good so far. Like, it makes me so happy the way that they're doing this. Like, they're doing Dexter so right right now. So right. And it makes me incredibly happy. We're going to talk about the match later because it was Adam Cole versus Dexter Lumis later in the show. But this was the opening segment and this was just fantastic. But yes, they also, if you're going to give Roderick Strong a shirt to wear on show, maybe take the holographic sticker off the shirt.
Well, he got a new one because he just needed a new shirt. He arrived at the building, grabbed a new shirt.
Take the holographic sticker off the shirt.
Maybe he likes it.
He's weird.
Maybe he likes it.
That's his kink?
Yes.
Because clearly scaring Roderick Strong is Dexter Lumis's.
Yes. So, as you mentioned, as they left, they were backstage, and Keith Lee walked up to them and sort of eyed up Adam Cole, bebe. But our opening contest was Keith Lee and Mia Yim taking on Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae. Candice and Johnny being hurt together is tremendous. Them trying to hold hands and grab each other from being killed is awesome. They're such a great duo.
Like, I like how they're doing this. I'm really enjoying how they're now kind of changing this and tweaking this, where Johnny's just being completely disingenuous. Because I think one of the best moments in this match is Candice gets knocked out, I think, by Keith Lee.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Johnny, like, he picks her up because he's... Because clearly, Keith Lee was raised correctly. His mother, or the female figure in his life, did a wonderful job because he gets extremely upset and distressed that he accidentally hit a woman.
What happened was, okay, so Mia got knocked out on the outside. And then I think Johnny hit Keith with his springboard DDT thing. And he landed on Candice. So Candice is laid out. So continue from there.
So Keith is all upset and he's like, oh my God, what have I done? And he picks up Candice, who's just laying completely limp in his arms. And Johnny seizes the moment in Keith's distraction and I think drop kicks Keith in the face, or basically uses Candice as a weapon, essentially. And he drops kicks Candice into Keith's face.
No, just rolled him up. Just rolled him up.
I'm sorry, he just rolled him up.
Just rolled
him up. 1, 2, 3. Johnny drags Candice's lifeless body out of the ring. He's celebrating with her.
And then he basically weakened and burnied her, just holding her up. She's out completely. Like, we won. Yay.
Yay. He picks up her hand and he waves it and it's all limp. She's like, oh God, why? Why is this a thing? Because then there's like a backstage clip that didn't make the show of him walking around with her and she's like coming too. Because he put it out on his Instagram, and it's just like, she's just like starting to come to, and he's like, we won, baby, we won! And she's like, huh, what? What? It's just so good.
Okay, so here was the most confusing part of the show for me. They aired a Damian Priest interview from right after TakeOver, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to Mackenzie Mitchell interviewing Cameron Grimes, and then Damian Priest walked up completely in a different outfit. So if you didn't catch the first 5 seconds of the interview saying it was, you know, it was right after TakeOver, you would be confused about what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little strange. I'm not going to lie. That didn't make a lot of sense. Like, I like the stuff between Damian Priest and Cameron Grimes.
Cameron is basically calling Priest a loser and, you know, I beat Finn. You couldn't beat him. And then, well, Cameron got headbutted in the face.
But the best part of this...
Or punched in the face, I should say.
He got punched in the face. Punched in the jaw. Is Cameron's backstage. All the ladies are tending to him. And somebody walks up with William Regal.
Okay.
On an iPad.
All right, so to back that up for a second, right? Mackenzie tells Drake that Drake is talking to, I think, Regal on the iPad, right? She walks up saying Cameron is claiming he broke his jaw. So Regal goes, take me to him. Continue.
So they walk up with William Regal on a Zoom call on an iPad. And Cameron's like, Damian Priest punched me in the face. He broke my jaw. It was like, it sounded like a 5-year-old. I can't do it justice. And he's like, I don't think I can wrestle. I don't think I can wrestle. And Regal's like, funny. Your jaw was broken last week too, but you did fine. Gear up and warm up. You're out. You're going out next. I'm done with this crap. Side note. I want them to do William Regal's Zoom call. I want him to do it in the room where he has his lizards. That, or I want him sitting in a chair petting one of his lizards. I want that. Just to have him do like that sort of posh, this is going to sound wrong, but like evil villain stereotype where he's just reposing in his room with his lizards and snakes and whatnots, whatever he has. And he has his favorite on his lap as he's lovingly petting it, you know, delivering decisions. Like, that would be so epic. It's Regal, so we would all completely buy it. But yeah, Zoom call William Regal, y'all. You can get William Regal on a Zoom call.
So, in this year, defeated two random dudes. But the best promo segment of the night had to go to Breezango. So, you know, we all know about them, right? They're funny, they're entertaining. And they talk all about it, but they also bring up their history, how Fandango made his debut in WWE in a stadium, and all this the kinds of stuff. And they were, like, really serious. Funny, but serious. And they mentioned how when they get in the ropes, that's when the entertainment ends. It's good stuff.
I really, really like how they did this featurette, and they went through kind of the history. And I like that they're actually making Breezango a thing, that they're taking them seriously. Because they really are one of the most underutilized teams that they have. And the fact that they never got their due on the main roster really upsets me sometimes. Because it's like, they're so good at what they do. They're so entertaining. And they never really got, I feel like, a fair shot. Because they were sort of just thrown together, right? Because they had Tyler Breeze and they had Fandango, who they didn't really know what to do with. And so they kind of either slapped them together, or they, I don't know who that is, Ash, I'm sorry. Or the two decided to team up together and they took it to creative. But either way, they were put together, they were kind of a mismatch, and they made it work. And they did the whole Fashion Police thing, which was epic. And then that kind of went away when Fandango got hurt, and then they could never kind of get that mojo back when he came back. And so I'm really, really happy that they're taking them more seriously. And that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, I only know one Bond villain, and that's Goldfinger. Goldfinger? Goldmember is Austin Powers.
Could have just said, you know, Dr. Evil and his cat. Anyway, that would hit the point home. Anyway.
Dr. Evil is Austin Powers.
I know. Just saying.
What was the cat's name? Mr.
Bigglesworth.
Bigglesworth, that's right. It was Mr. Bigglesworth.
So, anyway. So, Sirius Breezango will face Imperium next week.
Which should be good.
Mackenzie Mitchell, busy. Very busy. Interviewing everyone. Talked to Rhea Ripley about her loss to TakeOver, and before she really can get anything out, Robert Stone walked up, and he was...
Poor
Robert.
Poor Robert. He's not having a good couple weeks. He's a mess. The poor man. He's lost his one and only client. Nobody else wants him. He's just all... And I love how he's selling it by walking around completely disheveled and implying that he's just drunk. Like, I love it so much.
So he basically tries to offer her a spot in the Robert Stone brand, and, well, he'll do anything, and then, well, she just makes sure that doesn't happen, and she said there's the chances of her joining are one in a million, and he goes, so there's still a chance, and then he slammed in the laundry basket.
Okay, I'm going to be completely honest. Rhea Ripley and Robert Stone together kind of intrigues me. I really kind of like it. Like, Rhea doesn't need him at all.
But he's a good foil for her.
But he's a great foil for her. Like, there's a little energy there that I'm really, really liking, because there's, like, no way this is ever going to turn romantic, and I love this about that so much, that it's just Rhea Ripley, who's a complete badass, right? But she doesn't necessarily have, at least in a storyline sense, those political connections to get what she needs to get into title matches and get into the bigger picture, even though she's been there and she can get there on her own merit, to have somebody on Robert Stone, like Robert Stone on her side, who can get her into those positions easier, would be really good. So I don't know why, but I just really liked the two of them together. I'm sure it's not going to be a thing because I like it, but I really did like it.
Yeah, it's good. Finn Balor beat Cameron Grimes. Good match. Finn got his win back.
Very good match. Very entertaining.
Afterwards, he basically challenged Keith Lee for the North American title whenever he's done with Gargano.
Which is now, essentially, I think.
Maybe. Dakota Kai beat Casey, really, really tiny Catanzaro. Casey put up a little bit of fight, but it was all Dakota.
Okay. I mean, no offense by this whatsoever, but can we get Casey some better gear that's a little bit more flattering?
But she has no hips.
She has no hips. She has no butt. She has a thigh gap.
Everything just sort of fits on her, but you can't put anything else on her because she has no hips. Or meat.
Well,
or anything.
Well, they figured, and that's not a bad thing. Like, that's certainly not a bad thing that she's tiny. Like, some women are just built like that, right? But, like, I just feel like the gear, at least on the bottom, Charlotte has no hips and no ass, and they figured it out for her, so.
But she has height. It kind of works.
They figured it out for her, so I'm sure they can figure it out for Casey. I don't know, though. Like, it was just, and the main reason I'm saying this is because when put next to Dakota, who has, Dakota was wearing some really, really nice slamming gear, it just, there was kind of a mismatch, and it felt a little unbalanced, and I'm not saying you have to, like, bedazzle her or whatever, but, you know, just get her something that, you know, helps her stand out a little bit more, because I'm not gonna lie, it kind of, her bottoms kind of looked like man panties a little bit. So that's all I'm saying. Like, I'm not trying to offend. I'm not trying to body shame. That's not what this is. I feel like she could look more polished is what I'm trying to say. And I don't even think that's the right to say. Just never mind. Just ignore me. Anyway, move on.
You had Casey's partner, Caden Carter, get involved to make the save afterwards, but that didn't go so well for her either. El Hijo de Fantasma came out. He talked about, you know, how, you know, he's the champion, whatever. He was speaking Spanish, so I don't know what he was, but saying, out came Drake Maverick. Drake congratulated El Hijo de Fantasma on being a great cruiserweight for giving Maverick a great match, and he said he knows how he got his job back last week, but Fantasma deserves to be talked about more because he is the new cruiserweight champion. You deserve a chance. Maverick talked about how it was hard for him to think over the past few months about having a lot on his mind. Maverick said, now he's a full-time member of NXT. He knows he can beat Fantasma if Fantasma will grant him another match. And he goes, see. And then the ninjas come out. And they're all, and then Hijo de Fantasma's like, I'm on your side, Drake. We're good. Until it's not. He turned on Drake Maverick. The three of them beat them down. And then after they laid him out, Fantasma takes off his mask. And goes, my name is Santos Escobar. I am the NXT Cruiserweight Champion, and nobody can touch me.
I'm okay with this. I'm completely fine with this. I really actually, my only downfall is I really actually like the Lucha Henchmen a lot, but because they were just cool looking. But I'm really excited that there's a new heel stable here. I was a little shocked that he took his mask off. Like, I was really actually very surprised because I wasn't expecting that at all. So, I mean, it was cool. Really cool. Don't get me wrong. But I just was not expecting it. So, that's pretty awesome.
It was. We learned that next week on NXT television, the winners of the matchup we'll talk about later in our next segment will compete against Tegan Nox and Shoxi Blackheart for the WWE Women's Tag Team titles.
Okay.
Sign me up for it. Sign me up for Bayley and Sasha versus Tegan and Shotzi. I'm up for it.
I'll take that.
I'm totally up for it.
By the way, we have breaking news.
What?
Nikki's having a boy.
Yep. Oh, saw that.
I don't know if they announced Brie.
I think they did. I think it was a girl, I think.
Is she having a girl?
I think. If we had an intern, they could check that out, correct it for us. Anyway, it was the not pin event. Dexter Lumis, Adam Cole, Bebe, not title match. Good match.
This is good. I wouldn't mind seeing this again. I liked how Undisputed Era got involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
And Roddy was still a little
hesitant
about Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dream comes in to help his man, which was just so good. And he returns the favor to help Dexter take out Undisputed Era.
So he was able to clear Fish and Strong out of the building. Dream and Dexter. So they got him out. It was great. And then, well, the lights went out. A spotlight appears. And Scarlett Bordeaux walks out wearing her cat. Wearing a really, really.
No.
What?
Was this before Adam Cole got attacked or after? No, Adam Cole didn't get attacked. Who got attacked?
The boys.
Right, but when Dexter's laying there on the ground. Remember, Dexter was laying there on the ground, and I think Adam went and stood over him and was talking shit to him.
Oh, yeah, then he trapped him in the move. Yeah.
Yeah, like, Dexter Lumis is laying there, and Adam Cole, I think it was after the match, and
no,
Adam Cole
was
like...
No, it was before the... yeah, it was right after.
And Adam Cole's talking smack to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here going, he's gonna get up! He's gonna get up! He's playing possum! He's going to get up! Adam, don't stand on him! Adam! Damn it.
That's when
Dexter just grabs him and they have to, like, beat him off of Adam.
And that's when Velveteen Dream made the save.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the lights went off. Spotlight appears scarlet, then appears in a really, really, really tight catsuit.
Well, there's only one kind.
But this one was really tight because she could barely walk in it.
It was latex. Actually, I think it was the shoes. She could walk in the shoes.
Either way, she was having trouble. She walks to the ring and slowly puts an hourglass on the thing, turns it upside down slowly. The crowd chants, tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. And you see the hourglass starting to drop. Dip, as you see Karrion Kross's logo on the screen to end the show.
This was really good. This was really effective and extremely simple. It said everything it needed to say without any words. And I love promos like that. I love how you can visually convey something without ever having to use words. And it just, this was fantastic. Just the visual of the hourglass. It's like, oh, damn. Oh, son, you dead. You're so dead. He's coming for you now, and he wants your title. Did you see what he did to Tommaso Ciampa? That's you.
Mm-hmm.
That's you. He is so screwed. And Adam sold it perfectly. Like, Adam did a wonderful job of basically being like, well, shit.
Mm-hmm. So that was NXT.
That was NXT. So, okay, we are going to take a quick break. I get to actually go to break this time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
So we are going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we are going to be talking Backlash, and we are also going to have the return of Tweet of the Week. So you'll send to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns.
Maybe I have one more ass kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're going to put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Bang! Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight-ish Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code? Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop. That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to reference over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to have Twitch Prime and you would like to use your free subscription here, well, just click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen. You can subscribe there either for free with Twitch Prime or the regular way. That's fine too. We don't mind that. But if you just want to lurk and hang out and chill and, you know, follow the channel, that's fine. You can follow that too. And if you want to follow channels, you can follow mine, twitch.tv/LinsWard, LinsWard. Phew. And now, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on my space until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Cesaro, practicing for when I meet Heel Ziggler in another battle royal, and it shows a picture of Cesaro facing away from the camera, working out with his Tesla and his SUV in the background. Of course, Cesaro has a Tesla. Of course he does. Is that the Roadster or is that the Model S?
I don't know.
It's a very nice car. Mojo Rawley. Hey, buddy. I don't know if you know this or not, but you literally have a six-pack on your back. I mean, he does. He actually does. Stephen King. The writer. Iowa Stephen King lost. I am the last Stephen King standing. Takes a bow. FaZe Clan. What would your name be if you joined FaZe? FaZe _ indicating a blank. Cloaksy responds, FaZe Tifu. Patrick Monahan tweets out an image from a news site that says, scientists have uncovered a hidden pattern in a mysterious signal sent from space. And in all caps, he goes, not now, we are busy, because this year couldn't get any weirder. I second that, and I say tell them we're not home, because we're not. Mm-mm. We the last thing this planet needs is a goddamn alien invasion. WWE Network, whenever Randy Orton goes at Backlash, destruction follows. I think it's supposed to be wherever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wherever Randy Orton goes at Backlash, destruction follows. Right, Singh Brothers? And they respond, we had 10 missed calls from our father on this day. True story. And it's a video of Randy putting them through the table, which was a little vicious. Sonia, does Mike Wazowski wink or blink? It is a question for our time, chat. A question for our time. And Dr. Lupo replies, why are you like this? I mean, she's asking important questions, guys.
Yeah.
And last but certainly not least, Dr. Lupo, the year is 1996. Mankind was at its peak for visual effects in movies and entertainment. An icon of pure athleticism was on TV across America. The perfect movie was made. Space Jam. Chills. I mean, he's not wrong.
No, not wrong. Not wrong at all.
Yeah, I know who I appreciate that. I know who the character is. I just don't remember his name. It's been forever, literally, since I've watched a Bond movie. So, especially the old Bond movies. So, I appreciate you sending me the link, though. Anyway, that's all I have. Go ahead.
Carriage JD. Guys, for the first time in my life, I have a cavity. This is a sad day. 26 years of no cavities, and it's finally happened. No stream night, getting it filled, and having a conversation with my teeth about how we can be better. I betrayed them, and they've betrayed me. Shane Helms. I just got a text from Terry Funk. Conor McGregor retires too much.
Fit Finley. Wow, that's harsh coming from Terry Funk.
Fit Finley, ha 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 ha. I was with Terry in Japan 1982. He was doing a retirement tour. 1982. Marina Sharif. So I didn't wake up next to Roderick Strong this morning. Have any of you heard from him? Have you heard from Bobby Fish? Answer your phones. At Adam Cole, at Kyle O'Reilly. Let's see.
Kyle was out looking for them.
Marina, if my husband doesn't come home soon, I swear to everything that is holy, blessed, kosher, etc., I will find you, Dexter Lumis, and it'll be the last game of hide and seek you ever play.
She means that! She means that! She is 100% serious about that. Ah! What the hell? Anyway, I'm sorry, continue.
Randy Orton heard NXT was takeover was great. Slapping my leg for you guys. Sincerely. Hashtag leg slap. Champa. My daughter has been having trouble sleeping. Luckily, I found a remedy. Randy Orton matches. Better than NyQuil. Sincerely, an entire hashtag an entire locker room who busted their asses. Randy. Looks like I hurt the feelings of a self-appointed locker room leader of a wrestling school. Let me know what time leg slap class it starts so I can take my game to the next level.
Yeah.
They got into it. All right. Since everything's disjointed. Shotzi Blackheart. I did 800 squats during Raw breaks. Way to get it in.
I mean, since you're standing for forever and a day, it makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm. All right. So, someone goes to Edge. Do you honestly think this will be the greatest wrestling match ever? Or are you going to go with what Vince Dallas is saying? This was from Real Dickzilla, by the way. Edge. Well, Dickzilla, if that is indeed your real name, I'm guessing the dick part is anyway. Read the article and let you try and stumble your way to an answer. Don't hurt yourself. So Edge continues, including that article, I present the greatest wrestling article ever written by my good bard Arda. Then goes, I just sang the greatest bedtime lullaby ever to Ruby. Seriously on point for Backlash this Sunday. I am currently drinking the greatest coffee ever. Hashtag Backlash. Heading into Backlash and all things greatest ever, I give to you your suspicious little ears the greatest workout playlist ever. He's really going for it. Because, you know, reasons.
Because you can.
All right, Michelle Smallman goes, today I learned not to hashtag BBC. Kids, do we know what BBC is?
British Broadcasting Company?
Yes, let's go with British Broadcasting Company. Or another meaning. McGullick goes, oh, Smalls, because her name's Smallman. She goes, I was just trying to get people to read baseball books. If anyone remembers cards, you know it. WWE and Fox, I want to see more of her quoting Beth Phoenix about Tegan Knox. I want to see more of Tegan Knox. Bailey, Beth, give Tegan my number. Tegan goes, let's go! She's so excited.
She's so cute.
Beth goes, gladly, still 1-800 role model? And she goes, yes, but text only. I'm too busy for a call. Adam Copeland, I just did the greatest poison rana off a pickup truck to an armadillo ever. Hashtag Backlash. And finally, Mark Hoppus. The PS5 looks like a router made sex with a panini press. Dr. Lupo. Why does it make it more appealing for some reason?
Because it has curves.
Yeah, we'll go with that. We'll go with that. So that was Tweet a Week.
So, all right, let's get into a little Backlash.
So,
which...
Go ahead.
Which airs this Sunday on the WWE Network at 7 p.m. Eastern.
So, like a year ago, we had this idea. And I never followed through with it because it's a lot of production work. But we were transitioning from segment to segment, and you wanted something spectacular, right? There's only one of these that produced for it. But it exists for this show. Here we go.
The Rax Pay-Per-View Preview.
Backlash!
Edition.
I don't remember why we needed that now.
Because every segment had a bumper, right? And you were like, you were waiting for me to hit the bumper so we could go into Backlash talk. And there was none, or some pay-per-view. And I made this one for Backlash.
I don't think it was Backlash. I don't know why the hell we would make one for Backlash. It would probably be Mania.
No, it was probably for the pay-per-view before that you were complaining about it. So I made one for Backlash.
Oh, so you made it to be a dick.
Yes, yes.
Do you see what I have to put up with, chat?
You see what I have to put up with, chat? Let's be real. Let's be real.
All right. Anyway, Backlash this Sunday. There is no Bray Wyatt on this show, and I'm very upset about that.
Nope, there is no Bray Wyatt on the show.
I mean, granted, he and his significant other because I don't know if he and JoJo are married or not. It's okay if they're not. There's nothing wrong with that. Just had a baby together, so he has been factored out of the storylines for the time being because she was very, very pregnant and was about to give birth, and so she's now given birth. And I would suspect he's back on the show.
I would expect Sunday.
Yeah, I would expect he shows up then. It should be noted that Backlash is already taped.
What? No, actually, they changed it. One match was taped.
Okay, they didn't even make up their damn minds. One match!
And it
one!
And it was the greatest wrestling match ever.
I still don't know about that. By the way, can we talk about Randy Orton pranking the internet, including The Undertaker, about buying a plane?
I mean...
So the picture he put out, he did not buy a plane. Okay? He was just screwing with everybody. He got yelled at by his wife for it, by the way. And then he's like, everybody was texting me, and then like, he said the one that was like, really cool, but really sucked, was Taker. Because he got Taker. And Taker sent him this really nice message, and he's like, ah, shit. Tell him it's fake.
He should buy one for guilt.
Yeah, if you prank The Undertaker and you actually get him, whatever you did, like, if you go that far, like, full send, you bought a plane, and you take a picture in a nice luxury jet, you are, I think, duty-bound and obligated to go buy a plane at that point.
All right, let's get into some of these matches.
All right, first match on the card. I don't have the card, so you're going to have to read it.
Okay. The United States Championship is on the line. Apollo Crews defends against Andrade. This will be a rematch from Andrade losing the title to Apollo Crews. Andrade won the number one contendership last Monday night on Raw. It seems like they want to keep giving Apollo Crews the push, but then again, the probably main man behind the pushing people like Apollo Crews was let go today, so anything's up for grabs.
Yeah, with all the work that's been done with Andrade, though, I would expect that you could potentially put him in line for other things, but I don't know if they're going to continue on with Andrade either. Like, they're a little too far in at this point to just drop it, but they could. But then again, Zelina's crew is like one of the main foundations of Raw at this point. They've done a lot of work to build them. I really want Apollo to keep it just because he's kind of been handed a crap deal ever since he left NXT. And he's a really talented wrestler, and he deserves to get the title, keep the title, and hold on to it for a while. Mm-hmm. And kind of carry the U.S. Championship. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. They may put it back on Andrade, but I really like Andrade chasing. And also, you could line Andrade up for a bigger title if you needed to.
Which you could.
You could line Andrade up for Drew McIntyre, and I think they're slowly but surely setting that up. So, to give McIntyre another contender to go against. So, I'm going to say Apollo keeps it. Just because he just got it.
He just got it. I'm going Apollo retains. Magic 8-Ball, will Apollo Crews retain his United States Championship on Sunday? The Magic 8-Ball says don't count on it.
Now, to be honest, there will be shenanigans abounding in this match, by the way.
There will be. But, what does the magic wheel say? It's spinning.
No, it said Wrestler 3.
Oh, I spun the wrong one. Hold on, I'll spin it again.
It said Wrestler 3, so there's going to be a mysterious third wrestler that enters this match last minute.
No, it actually never finished. The actual answer is...
Wrestler 2.
It said Wrestler 3.
It never stopped.
It said Wrestler 3. Wrestler it was 2. On Wrestler 3.
No, both windows say Wrestler 2. You see it on your screen. Wrestler 2 for both windows. Anyway, it's Wrestler 2, which means Andrade wins back the title.
All right, what's next?
Our next contest is the triple threat match for the Women's Tag Team Championship. It is the Boston Hug Connection against Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross and the Iconics.
This should be really super good.
I love the Iconics. I love me some Iconics.
I'm so happy they're back. I'm thrilled that they're back. And I honestly really want them to win.
They can have all the things after Sunday.
I have really bad news for you. They're probably going to get the titles on Sunday because you've brought them back. You're pushing them. You're making them aggressive. You're taking them seriously. I would hate that they did all that work only to have them lose and then they just get lost in the shuffle again. Like, I understand that Bayley and Sasha just got the championships for some unknown reason.
To help our fantasy team.
Well, our fantasy team's going to lose points because I don't think Nikki and Alexa are winning. And I think the Iconics are going to figure out a way, especially in a triple threat where the champions don't have to be pinned to lose the titles, are going to find a way to walk away with those titles.
So you're going, Iconics?
I want the Iconics to win.
I really love the Iconics. I really do. But I'm going Bayley and Sasha for selfish points reasons. And they also just got it. So, yeah. Magic 8 Ball, will the Iconics win the tag team titles on Sunday? All signs point to yes. Now we bring up the magic wheel. This time the one I had up because I forgot which one we're doing first. The one with three wrestlers on it. We spin the wheel.
It's a conspiracy chat.
The magic wheel of fun.
Wrestler 2.
Goes with Wrestler 2, which is Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
All right, so there you go.
Our next contest is Jeff Nero Hardy versus Sheamus.
Okay, can we just for a minute talk about what's been going on with SmackDown and Mr. Hardy? And because we have not had a chance to discuss this and the whole they're testing him for substance abuse problems, like the fact that they're using that in the storyline. Can we not do that? Number one, because I'm pretty sure TNA already did it a couple years ago. And two, I'm sure he agreed with it and he's at least in theory fine with it. But he's done a lot of work, I believe, introspectively to fight his demons, especially that side of himself. And it just feels a little disrespectful. I'm sorry. Like, it just, to me, it's not cool to use his notorious substance abuse problems as a storyline or the base of a storyline or a part of a storyline.
It's World Wrestling Entertainment bringing reality into an entertainment business. It's not the first time.
No, this is not the first time they've done this. I mean, and this is not the first time they've done things in poor taste. Like, it's the WWE. They do it quite frequently. But I don't know. It sets a bad tone.
Unless there's a positive outcome to this entire thing where they're spreading a positive message.
Which they aren't. Let's all be honest.
They're attempting to, kind of. Jeff is trying. But we'll see if it does, especially what's rumored for tomorrow night on SmackDown. Think Shawn Michaels and Vince McMahon.
Pre-God.
The month before God. More of a, when it was just a pissing contest between the two men.
Actually, nobody, Vince McMahon is in no room to talk about taking a piss test. That's all I'm going to say.
See, she just outright said it. I was just alluding to things. Anyway.
Well, they're outright calling out Jeff Hardy, so, I mean, you know, the stage is already set for this.
Should be an interesting SmackDown tomorrow night on Fox. I'm going Jeff Hardy beat Sheamus.
Yeah, I'm going to say Jeff Hardy gets his revenge on Sheamus here.
Eight Ball, does Jeff Hardy beat Sheamus on Sunday? Concentrate and ask again. Hey, Eight Ball, will Sheamus beat Jeff Hardy on Sunday? Definitely. Magic Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 3.
There's only two wrestlers on this board.
Wrestler 1.
Wrestler 1. That'd be Jeff Hardy.
Okay. All right. There you go.
It is the Raw Women's Championship. Asuka versus Nia Jax.
Please, God, let Asuka win. I think she will. I'm fairly sure she will, but
I have all the confidence in the world that Asuka will be able to make Nia Jax look really, really good on Sunday.
I'm trying to have high expectations for this match, but I really have none, and that's just simply because I'm very down on Nia Jax right now.
I also hope Asuka kicks her right in the face repeatedly.
She probably will.
Repeatedly.
She do it at least once. As a thank you for Kari, or as a FU for Kari, probably. But, if that hasn't already been settled, which I'm sure it has. But yeah, I'm just, whatever they're doing with the Nia, it's not working for me at all. Like, it's just really, really not. And it's like, there's so many other women on that roster that I would love to see in that spot that are not Nia Jax. Like, what the fuck happened to Bianca Belair? Where is she?
Give me Asuka. Bianca, give Liv a chance. She had momentum.
Yeah, and then they killed it. And, like, where the fuck is Ruby Riot?
Yeah.
Like, no offense to Naya. Like, seriously, no offense to Naya. She's perfectly qualified to be in this position, but it's just, like, there are so many other women that I feel like could be in this position and do better, and it's like, you have this whole roster that are waiting, and it's like, the Naya stuff, I'm gonna be completely honest, it hasn't worked for me. And I'm not saying that the other stuff would, but it's just like, I'm just not feeling it, I'm just not digging it, and Asuka's just being Asuka, and this isn't on Asuka. It's just, Naya to me is not entertaining for me right now, because I feel like the way that she's being written, and then the way that the character's being portrayed, it's just blasé. This whole, well, I'm a bad guy and I don't really give a crap and I'm just going to talk smack about you and I'm going to put a dent in your best friend's head and all this other stuff. And it's just like, okay.
I'm already tired of Nia Jax. I want Asuka to retain on Sunday. So that's my pick.
Yeah. My pick is Asuka. I would like to see Asuka retain. And again, also the whole, well, she got handed the title. Well, not really.
No, she won a ladder match that you lost.
Yep. But you didn't know the title was in the briefcase. She didn't know the title was in the briefcase because nobody knew that Becky Lynch got pregnant.
Except for Seth Rollins.
Except for Seth Rollins, who you knew he wanted to scream that all over the internet.
So Magic 8-Ball, will Nia Jax win the Raw Women's title on Sunday? It is certain.
8-Ball. 8-Ball, we need to have a talk.
Magic Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
Which is Nia Jax.
Wheel! Both of you! To your corner! No cookies!
It is the handicap match, 2-on-1 handicap match for the Universal Championship as Braun Strowman defends against Miz and Morrison.
Braun.
Miz
it's gonna be Braun.
Braun's gonna win. That's our pick.
And the Fiend's, I'm betting the Fiend shows up.
I bet the Fiend shows up too. Miz and Morrison have been very entertaining. Them trying to screw with Braun on Friday was cool.
Oh, it's great. What they're doing is fantastic. Like, I love it. I love everything that they're doing with Braun. It's just, the whole thing is great, but it's Braun.
Braun. Magic April will Braun Strowman retain on Sunday. Don't count on it. Magic Wheel of Fun. What do you say?
Wrestler 2.
Miz and Morrison. Hey, hey. Ho ho.
Ho ho. So or there could be a mysterious Wrestler 3. You don't know.
Stop with the Wrestler 3, will you?
I mean, like, the Fiend could murder Miz and Morrison, and he takes their place, and he challenges for the title, and Braun's like, hey, yeah, let's do it, and then the Fiend kills Braun Strowman. Also, I'm a little disappointed that WWE and their marketing department in general have not figured out a way to get Braun Strowman on a pack of paper towels. That is a partnership that is just waiting to happen, and nobody has done it.
It is the WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre defends against Bobby Lashley. Okay, so I'm going to try to talk about this the best way I can. 14 days ago, there was a clear-cut winner. Okay, chat, you following along? 14 days ago, there was a clear-cut winner. The world has changed in 14 days. I wouldn't be surprised if, because of developments in the world...
And the fact that Bobby Lashley has MVPs as a manager.
That we could see a brand new WWE champion on Sunday.
Honestly, I'm not... This is going to sound wrong. I am not opposed to Bobby Lashley as champion. I am not...
Especially for a short-term run.
I'm not against this at all, because I feel like the addition of MVP into the equation has been night and day for the character as a whole. What he brings to the table, the fact that Bobby is more aggressive, the fact that he's showing emotion, he's showing energy, he's not just coming out like, hey, I'm Bobby Lashley, what's up, hey, aren't I cute, you know, that kind of thing, where he's actually showing real aggression, real passion, real fire, that he wants the title, he's attacking people, he's ready to go, MVP's talking him up, he's right there with him, they've written Lana pretty much out of the picture. But she could play a factor in this, and I'll get to that. I would really actually be completely on board with Bobby Lashley getting the title and having the title from Drew. And the reason why I say this is you can always give the title back to Drew, and Drew has been insanely entertaining. But again, we don't know when the crowds are going to be back. It could be as early as July, or it could be another 3 to 6 months. We don't know. So
here's the thing.
It doesn't make sense. Well, let me finish. it doesn't make sense for Drew to continue to hold on to the title waiting for the crowds.
Okay. May I go?
Yes.
If Bobby Lashley does not win with MVP in his corner, you've made Bobby Lashley an MVP, a mid-card act.
Basically. Like, the only way that this could work is if Lana screws Bobby an MVP and she helps Drew.
That is the scenario that probably will most likely happen. But...
Or Lana and MVP will get into an argument and it will cost Bobby.
Yes, whatever. She helps, in theory, helps Drew win with a distraction. I can definitely see that as the scenario that puts Drew over Bobby. That will save some face, but it still hurts the act. MVP is being brought in to help elevate Bobby Lashley. And so a title win would make the most sense for the character. And again, you don't need 7-month-long title reigns to matter, especially if they're still in the title picture fighting for the championship. Because go back to... I'm going to bring it up, Lindsay. Should I?
Go ahead.
The Attitude Era. No one held a title more than 3 months. That title would flip-flop and flip-flop and flip-flop and flip-flop and flip-flop and flip-flop between Austin and The Rock and Mick Foley and Triple H and The Big Show and The Undertaker and Kane for a day.
But he still had it.
He still had it. And that's
the
point.
He lost it to Austin, but he still had it.
And that's the point. It gave him a credibility because he was a WWE champion. Because it fit in that story. And Lashley winning fits in his story. So I'm going Bobby Lashley, bound to be wrong.
I'm going to kind of go that same path. I feel like Bobby Lashley should win. One, because he's earned it. He deserves it. He's busted his butt to get back to WWE to prove that he is a wonderful performer in WWE. And also on another level, they did right by Drew. They gave him the title at WrestleMania. He has held the title since WrestleMania. And he's done a wonderful job for it. But I think, like I said, they've been waiting to get him out in front of a crowd with the title. And at this point, I don't think they can hold any longer, especially with the creative shakeups that are coming. Like, this is the wild card is what got announced today, because now you have an entirely different creative team. Essentially, it's pretty much the same people, but it's a different team working together to write the shows. And so what are they going to do differently? What is Bruce Prichard's ideas for Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre? Because these are two guys that Paul Heyman has built up and made. So what does Bruce Prichard look at them and see, and what does he want to do? Everything is kind of right for Bobby to beat Drew. And honestly, Drew is better when he chases. When he has a goal, when he has something to go after.
The babyface is always better chasing.
So, while Drew's been a wonderful champion, he's been the most entertaining he's ever been, I wouldn't mind seeing Drew chase again. The title, you did right by him, you gave him the title, he's held it with honor, he's been wonderful, he's been entertaining, he's held the ship down since Corona started, but give it to Bobby. Let Bobby run with it. Because you can always give it back to Drew. And essentially, you could give it back to Drew at SummerSlam, and he could, if they have crowds by them, or whatever event you have the crowd back for, and you want to get that massive pop for him, you can always do the title then. Or the one after that, depending on the timing.
So, Magic 8-Ball, will Drew McIntyre retain on Sunday? You may rely on it. Magical Wheel of Fun. What do you say?
Wrestler 3.
Wrestler 1.
Drew McIntyre. Now we get to the thing we need to talk about the most.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. In the annals of history. Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes. Ric Flair versus Sting. Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. Randy Savage and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart. Shawn Michaels versus Triple H. Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle versus Redacted. And then some. We now come down to this. The greatest wrestling match ever. Edge takes on Randy Chinlock Orton in a slobber knocker. A barn burner. An instant classic. The greatest match ever. It's just way overhyped. I mean, it'll be a good wrestling match, and they'll probably do a lot of things to keep you on the edge of your seat, but as they've said in promos, in interviews, the tagline is stupid. It's Vince McMahon promoting something and pitching it and going, what? Are you serious? And here we are. So will it live up to its hype? Hell no. Will it be good? Hell, maybe.
It's a marketing ploy. It's a great marketing ploy, but somebody, probably Vince, was like, you know what's going to look great on a poster? What's going to look great in the commercials? Greatest wrestling match ever.
It was Paul Heyman to Vince, and they both went, yeah, pal, this is awesome. And they pitched the edge, and he was unsure of it, to say the least.
I think this will be good. I think this will be very good. I hope it is a little bit shorter than the WrestleMania match, just because I feel like that went on about 5 or so minutes too long. So I hope this one is just a little bit shorter, just because...
Well, I've heard something. Okay, hopefully.
Don't say it's an hour. Please don't say it's an hour.
I don't know a time, but it went longer than probably it should be. But there could be editing involved, hopefully.
And here's the whole thing is, Randy was one of the people that Edge really wanted to work with, that he really wanted to have matches with again. Randy was one of the reasons that Edge came back. And I have little doubt that they aren't going to try to knock it out of the park, but...
They don't have the crutches of TLC. They don't have tables. They don't have anything. They don't have the kendo sticks, chair shots. They're going to have a traditional wrestling match for however long they can have it for.
I think this will have wonderful storytelling, and that's going to help make it the greatest ever. I mean, in terms of tech, like, here's the thing. There's two kinds of greatest matches, right? There is a technical wrestling match, which, I'm going to be frank, I don't think this is going to be that. I don't think it's going to be technically perfect, because no offense to Edge, but from what I remember, he's a very, very good wrestler. I don't know about his technical wrestling. I honestly can't recall Edge having really good technical wrestling matches. I'm sure he's had dozens, hundreds.
He's a good wrestler, but he's not the greatest in-ring performer of all time. He's not Shawn Michaels, who can make anyone look good.
What I feel like Edge is known for is his ability for storytelling.
With a captive audience and getting the fans either to boo him or cheer him and tell that whole story. Oh.
Well, I mean, they have that.
I mean, yeah.
But I feel like Edge is really, really good at storytelling. He's really good at emoting. He's really good at drawing an audience in and getting them into the match. And then his wrestling and what he does in the ring backs up what he's the story that he's telling through everything else. And what that gives you is a really good match. So if the story draws you in, if the story captivates you based on what they're doing, then yes, this will be a great match. Because the greatest matches of all time, taking the technicality out of it, have the best stories. You talk about Shawn Michaels Undertaker at WrestleMania 25, which is described as a clinic match. It should be studied. It's that good. Like, that's kind of a bar that's been set. And that's just one of many. And there are so many more that are better, but that's the only one that's coming to mind right now. You know, End of an Era is another one where, again, that match from a storyline, from a story standpoint, and really from a match standpoint, is considered one of the greatest matches ever as well, just because of what they did in the ring and how they told that story. So if Randy and Edge do something similar and do it to that level, yes, it will be extremely good, should be extremely entertaining. If it's a 45-minute technical wrestling match, no thank you. I'm sorry. That is wrestling blasphemy. I understand that. I am not into the technical wrestling. I am not into sitting here watching technical wrestling. It does nothing for me. I need meat and potatoes and story and drama and characters and all of that. That's what I am here for, is the storytelling, not necessarily the wrestling skill.
Well, it is a skill. Anyway, so who are you going with in the greatest wrestling match ever?
I'm going to say Randy, because Edge got the win at Mania, so I feel like Randy's going to get his win back here, because Randy is there more than Edge is at this point, especially right now, because Edge has only signed up for a certain amount of appearances, so they'll probably do one more between Randy and Edge, and then that'll be it for a while, so I feel like Randy's going to tie it up with Edge and take this one.
I'm going to go with the rated R. Superstar Edge.
Well, I mean, one of them has his own plane, so, you know.
You know. Hey, Paul, will Randy Orton beat Edge on Sunday? It is certain. Magical Wheel of Fun. Who wins in the greatest wrestling match ever?
Wrestler 1.
That would be the Rated R Superstar.
Nominate Tony Chimmel to come back and re-announce Edge.
As the greatest, like greatest wrestler ever.
I feel like they need to pre-record Tony Chimmel doing the Edge intro.
For reasons.
For reasons, and then they play it when he comes out. Because there is only one way that you intro Edge, and that's
that
it.
One. Yeah.
But that's the music, so I think that's the show.
Make sure you didn't pick facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Starting tomorrow after SmackDown. Give us your picks. You have until about 5 p.m. on Sunday to get them in. Because I would assume there's more card to be announced on Friday night. Saturday night, though, is midnight. It's at CBRadio, CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, once the pay-per-view ends, the action begins on Wrestle Talk Radio. They'll cover Backlash. Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Monday, 1:45 p.m. Eastern. The Device Live. Twitch.tv/WTLive. Then, Monday at 11 p.m. Eastern is The Rack. Then, we'll be back Thursday night for The Rack Live, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review Backlash. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The Rack Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and beyond. At Wild Talk Radio on Facebook. Or on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Hey, you out there, do you have Amazon Prime? Did you know you can link it to your Twitch account? It's called Twitch Prime, and you can subscribe for free by hitting the purple rectangular button below the screen, like Lindsay did earlier tonight and Matt did earlier tonight. You can do that too. Just go connect them together and find out and subscribe for free. Also, use creator code ROCKSECONDTO49 and I'm shopping next week when the new season drops, because that'd be awesome. Support a creator, #ad #QuebecPartner.
And you can follow me on most of social medias and on Twitch at Lins Ward, LANSWRD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Are we doing Fortnite with friends?
It seems like we're going to do Fortnite with friends in a moment.
All right, so we are going to find the friends. We're going to squad up, and then we are going to do Fortnite shenanigans, so y'all don't want to miss that. So we're going to take a break, everybody. The show's ending, but we're technically taking a break between, so if you gotta go to the bathroom, get a snack, go get water, do whatever you gotta do, or any other beverage of your choice. Doesn't have to be water. I just drink a lot of water because it's good for you. Go grab it, because we're gonna be back with Fortnite with friends in just a second. But till then, he's Rock, I'm Lindsay. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we'll see you in a few. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.